Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the New Testament book of 1 Timothy, toward the end of the Bible. Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy. So we're in 1st Timothy. We're going to be finishing the book, reading chapters 4 to 6. I'll be taking some devotional pauses, some applicational thoughts at the end, and then closing in prayer. And I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these writings, these letters to the churches and to us, 1 Timothy. And Lord, help me to understand what I'm supposed to gain from this and how I'm supposed to apply it to my life. And I want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy 4. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, because it's consecrated by the word of God and prayer. There is obviously, there's lots of false teachers around that day, and there's all kinds of things that they go off on to make problems about. Verse 6, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness is value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Okay, so that's the motive for doing the right thing and setting people right, because this is all about the life to come. Yes, there's good things for this life too, but our hope is in the living God. Verse 11, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you were young. So this is Paul speaking to Timothy, who's been on his missions team and is serving in the church, in the churches there. But set an example, verse 12, for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Chapter 5. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should first learn to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Okay, so he's talking here about how he's to instruct the church about taking care of other people. And in particular here, he's talking about widows, how to care for your own family, how the widows should be acting if the church is going to care for them. Verse 9, no widow may be put on the list of widows unless she's over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer is widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. So the basic idea here is help your own, help who you can, and if no one's helping these widows, the church should be. Verse 17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it's brought by two or three witnesses. But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone so that the others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. You can imagine in the church, as they lead the church, as elders, it's like there's lots of difficult situations that are going to come up. And you can't play favorites. You've got to go according to the word of God. Verse 22, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. So, be patient, Timothy. The truth will reveal itself. Chapter 6. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name in our teaching may not be slandered. So you find in God's word that he talks about slavery. God does not promote slavery. He redeems people from it, but that's not his main goal. His main goal was not that everyone would be free in this life, in this government, wherever you are. His goal was that whatever your situation of life is presently, then you honor God, whatever it is. And yes, part of that would be if you have the power to do so, you can free people. You can set people free. Verse 2. So he's basically saying, listen, if you are a slave, then you can honor God in this way. Verse 2. Those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they're fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and are devoted to the welfare of their slaves. And so those who were owning slaves in that day, I don't think it's the same that we think of when we think of slavery from some years ago in our country. Those who were believers who had these servants, they would treat them well because they were doing so for God. These are the things you were to teach and insist on. Verse 3, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That did not only happen in that day, but we certainly see it happen today, right? People who want money will do anything. Then it causes all kinds of other problems. Verse 11, but you, man of God, flee from this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have departed from the faith. Grace be with you all. That's the end of our reading for today. That's the end of 1 Timothy. Wow, I feel like there is so much here in the last three chapters of 1 Timothy. And I want to encourage you just to kind of go back through and pick out what your application would be. For me, it's pretty clear for me as a pastor. I'm the Timothy here in this passage. And I understand the sensitivity and the difficulty to pastor well, to be an elder, to do all these things that God says. But because in some cases, people are not going to like me. They're not going to like what I have to say. But I still need to be gentle in times of gentleness and be strong in times where it takes strength when people are going against God's word. Hold everyone to God's word. There's so many situations in here where it's about bring them back to God's word, bring them back to God's word, bring them back to the truth, give them a perspective of the future, look at eternity and live accordingly. That's what I want to do. And I want to be faithful to God's word right where I am here as a pastor here, even in times when people don't want to hear it. What's God saying to you through his word today? Father, thank you for your word. Father, help me to be a faithful elder, to be a faithful preacher, teacher of your word, faithful pastor of your people, to confess my sins, Father, quickly, to humbly lead your people, to do what you've asked me to do, even when it's difficult, and even when people may not like me, Lord, because I want to prepare people for eternity. I want to honor you. Help us all to apply your word to our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.